at Harry's. On a Friday evening, a group of us have left the office early, finding ourselves at Harry's. Group consists of Tim Price, Craig McDermott, myself, Preston Goodrich, who is currently dating a total hardbody named, I think, Plum? No last name, just Plum, an actress model, which I have a feeling we all think is pretty hip. We're having a debate over where to make reservations for dinner. Flamingo East, Oyster Bar, 220, Counterlife, Michael's, Spago East, The Cirque, Robert Farrell is here too, the Lotus Quotrek, a portable stock quotation device in front of him on the table, and he's pushing buttons while the latest commodities flash by. What are people wearing? McDermott has on a cashmere sport coat, wool trousers, a silk tie, Hermes. Farrell is wearing a cashmere vest, leather shoes, wool cavalry twill trousers, Garrick Anderson. I'm wearing a wool suit by Armani, shoes by Allen Edmonds, pocket square by Brooks Brothers. Someone else has on a suit tailored by Anderson and Shepard. Someone who looks like Todd Lauder, and may in fact be, gives thumbs up across the room, etc., etc. Questions are routinely thrown my way. Among them, are the rules for wearing a pocket square the same as for a white dinner jacket? Is there any difference at all between boat shoes and topsiders? My futon is already flattened out, and it's uncomfortable to sleep on. What can I do? How does one judge the quality of compact discs before buying them? What tie knot is less bulky than a Windsor? How can one maintain a sweater's elasticity? Any tips on buying a shearling coat? I am, of course, thinking about other things, asking myself my own questions. Am I a fitness junkie? Man versus conformity. Can I get a date with Cindy Crawford? Does being a Libra signify anything? And if so, can you prove it? Today, I was obsessed with the idea of faxing Sarah's blood I drained from her vagina over to her office in the mergers division at Chase Manhattan. And I didn't work out this morning because I'd made a necklace from some of the bones of a girl's vertebra and wanted to stay home and wear it around my neck while I masturbated in the white marble tub in my bathroom, grunting and moaning like some kind of animal. Then I watched a movie about 5 lesbians and 10 vibrators. Favorite group, Talking Heads. Drink, J&B, or Absolute on the Rocks. TV show, Late Night with David Letterman. Soda, Diet Pepsi. Water, Evian. Sport, baseball. The conversation follows on its own rolling accord. No real structure or topic or internal logic or feeling, except, of course, for its own hidden conspiratorial one. Just words. And like in a movie, but one that has been transcribed improperly. Most of it overlaps. I'm having a sort of hard time paying attention because my automated teller has started speaking to me, sometimes actually leaving weird messages on the screen in green lettering like, "Cause a terrible scene at Sotheby's," or "Kill the president," or "Feed me a stray cat." And I was freaked out by the park bench that followed me for 6 blocks last Monday evening. And it spoke to me, too. Disintegration. I'm taking it in stride. Yet the only question I can muster up at first and add to the conversation is a worried, "I'm not going anywhere if we don't have a reservation someplace, so do we have a reservation someplace or not?" I notice that we're all drinking dry beers. Am I the only one who notices this? I'm also wearing mock tortoiseshell glasses that are non-prescription. On the TV screen in Harry's is the Patty Winters Show, which is now on in the afternoon and is up against Geraldo Rivera, Phil Donahue, and Oprah Winfrey. Today's topic is, does economic success equal happiness? The answer in Harry's this afternoon is a roar of resounding, "Definitely," followed by much hooting, the guys all cheering together in a friendly way. On the screen now are scenes from President Bush's inauguration early this year. Then a speech from former President Reagan while Patty delivers a hard-to-hear commentary. Soon, a tiresome debate forms over whether he's lying or not, even though we don't, can't, hear the words. The first and really only one to complain is Price, who, though I think he's bothered by something else, uses this opportunity to vent his frustration, looks inappropriately stunned, asks, "Can he lie like that? How can he pull that shit?" Oh, Christ, I moan. What shit? Now, where do we have reservations at? I mean, I'm not really hungry, but I would like to have reservations somewhere. How about 220? An afterthought. McDermott, how did that rate in the news of Gats? No way, Farrell complains before Craig can answer. The coke I scored there last time was cut with so much laxative, I actually had to take a shit in MK. Yeah, yeah, life sucks and then you die. Low point of the night, Farrell mutters. Weren't you with Kyria the last time you were there? Goodrich asks. Wasn't that the low point? She caught me on call waiting. What could I do? Farrell shrugs. I apologize. Caught him on call waiting. McDermott nudges me, dubious. Shut up, McDermott, Farrell says, snapping Craig's suspenders. Data beggar. You forgot something, Farrell, Preston mentions. McDermott is a beggar. How's Courtney? Farrell asks Craig, leering. Just say no, someone laughs. Price looks away from the television screen, then at Craig, and he tries to hide his displeasure by asking me, waving at the TV. I don't believe it. He looks so normal. He seems so out of it, so undangerous. Bimbo, bimbo, someone says. Bypass, bypass. He is totally harmless, you geek. Was totally harmless, just like you are totally harmless. But he did do all that shit, and you have failed to get us into 150, so, you know, what can I say? McDermott shrugs. I just don't get how someone, anyone, can appear that way, yet be involved in such total shit, Price says, ignoring Craig, averting his eyes from Farrell. He takes out a cigar and studies it sadly. To me, it still looks like there's a smudge on Price's forehead. Because Nancy was right behind him? Farrell guesses, looking up from the Quotrek. Because Nancy did it? How can you be so fucking, I don't know, cool about it? Price, to whom something really eerie has obviously happened, sounds genuinely perplexed. Rumor has it that he was in rehab. Some guys are just born cool, I guess. Farrell smiles, shrugging. I'm laughing at this answer, since Farrell is so obviously uncool. And Price shoots me a reprimanding look, says, and Bateman, what are you so fucking zany about? I shrug, too. I'm just a happy camper. And I add, remembering, quoting my brother, rocking and rolling. Be all that you can be, someone adds. Oh, brother. Price won't let it die. Look, he starts, trying for a rational appraisal of the situation. He presents himself as a harmless old codger, but inside... He stops. My interest picks up, flickers briefly. But inside... Price can't finish the sentence, can't add the last two words he needs. Doesn't matter. I'm both disappointed and relieved for him. Inside? Yes, inside? Craig asks, bored. Believe it or not, we're actually listening to you. Go on. Bateman... Price says, relenting slightly. Come on. What do you think? I look up, smile, don't say anything. From somewhere, the TV, the national anthem plays. Why? I don't know. Before a commercial, maybe. Tomorrow on the Patty Winter Show, doormen from Nell's. Where are they now? I sigh, shrug, whatever. That's a pretty good answer. Price says, then adds, you're a real nut. That is the most valuable piece of information I've heard since... I look at my new gold Rolex that insurance paid for. McDermott suggested we all drink dry beers. Christ, I want a scotch. McDermott looks up with an exaggerated grin and purrs, Bud, long neck, beautiful. Very civilized. Goodrich nods. Super stylish English guy, Nigel Morrison, stops by our table, and he's wearing a flower in the lapel of his Paul Smith jacket. But he can't stay long, since he has to meet other British friends, Ian and Lucy, at Delmonico's. Seconds after he walks away, I hear someone sneer, Nigel, a pate animal. Someone else, did you know that caveman got more fiber than we do? Who's handling the Fisher account? Screw that. What about the Shepherd thing, the Shepherd account? Is that David Monroe? What a burnout. Oh, brother, for Christ's sakes, lean and mean. What's in it for me? The shepherd play or the shepherd account? Rich people with cheap stereos. No, girls who can hold their liquor. Total lightweight. Need a light? Nice matches. What's in it for me? Yep. I think it's me who says, I have to return some videotapes. Someone has already taken out a Minolta cellular phone and called for a car, and then, when I'm not really listening, watching instead someone who looks remarkably like Marcus Halberstam paying a check, someone asks, simply, not in relation to anything, why? And though I'm very proud that I have cold blood, and that I can keep my nerve and do what I'm supposed to do, I catch something, then realize it. Why? And automatically answering out of the blue, for no reason, just opening my mouth, words coming out, summarizing for the idiots. Well, though I know I should have done that instead of not doing it, I'm 27 for Christ's sakes, and this is how life presents itself in a bar or in a club in New York, maybe anywhere at the end of the century, and how people, you know, me, behave. And this is what being Patrick means to me, I guess. So, well, yep. And this is followed by a sigh, then a slight shrug, and another sigh. And above one of the doors, covered by red velvet drapes and Harry's, is a sign. And on the sign, in letters that match the drape's color, are the words, "This is not an exit." That is the end of American Psycho by Bret Easton Ellis.